Welcome to the Western Canadian Animal Health Network's Veterinary Podcast. This podcast is intended to share information about animal health and infectious disease risks with veterinarians and producers in Western Canada. In this episode, we'll be discussing a disease of interest for the increasing number of small-scale or backyard swine herds, in fact, for all swine herds, really, in the Western provinces. My name is Dr. Kate Todd. I'm a veterinarian, and today I'll be speaking with Dr. Jessica Law, a swine veterinarian who works out of Prairie Swine Health Services in Alberta. Dr. Law joined Prairie Swine Health Services after graduation to pursue production animal medicine, and in practice, she enjoys working to improve herd health and performance through preventative herd health programs, reproduction, biosecurity, welfare assessments, as well as disease investigations. Dr. Law is currently serving as the president of both the Western Canadian Association of Swine Veterinarians and the Canadian Association of Swine Veterinarians. In 2018, Dr. Law received the Rising Star Award at the Alberta Pork Congress, and in 2020, she received the Young Veterinarian of the Year Award from the Alberta Veterinary Medical Association. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Law.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we'll just get right into it. Currently, I know there is one disease threat that is extremely important for anyone who is treating or raising pigs to know about. What can you tell us about African swine fever, and why should veterinarians keep this front and center in their minds when they are providing veterinary care for these small-scale producers in particular?
African swine fever is a foreign animal disease, so any foreign animal disease is always something we want to keep front and center, regardless of the species. However, African swine fever is completely untreatable and unpreventable. There is no vaccine and there's no effective treatment. It's caused by a large virus from the Aspergillus family. There's no other really relevant viruses in this family that cause disease in other species that I know of. And it can cause up to 100% mortality in cases. But because it is a foreign animal disease and federally reportable, there will be 100% case fatality as a result of having to euthanize all the animals on the premises to prevent further spread. We're starting to see variable levels of mortality as the disease mutates, which unfortunately means some variations of the virus are less pathogenic, and so we don't see as severe of disease immediately, which is scary for a veterinarian on farm, because African swine fever is always in the back of our mind. There's other viruses that sort of mimic it. So trying to keep it front and center and as a differential is going to be important when working with small scale producers or small scale swine producers, as they are one of the at-risk premises. They have animals that are usually from within Canada, but they can often import animals more frequently than large-scale swine producers do. We don't see much import of animals in large-scale swine producers, whereas we see a lot more in small-scale swine producers. The other thing is going to be there's more risk with just variation of feed ingredients, sources of feed, as well as possibly less biosecurity on their sites.
So is there a human health risk associated with African swine fever?
This is an awesome question and super important. We are incredibly fortunate that the one positive side of this virus is that there's no zoonotic features of the African swine fever virus. It does not cause disease in humans, and it does not cause disease in any other species other than domestic and wild pigs. It is not zoonotic, and it does not cause foodborne illness either.
So what are some clinical signs of ASF that a veterinarian might observe on farm? Is there anything a producer might mention also in a history that should set off some alarm bells for us?
Animals that are showing lethargy, that have high fevers, they may be huddling. This is a case where you're seeing multiple animals that are affected. Multiple animals that are not eating or drinking despite having available sources of water and feed, as well as increasing numbers of animals affected day after day or increasing numbers of animals dying day after day. Unfortunately, ASF can look like a couple of other diseases such as classical swine fever, which is also a foreign animal disease, as well as severe salmonellosis and PCV2 or PRRS, so porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome virus. on postmortem, so if your producer happens to open up the animal, you'll see enlarged spleens and kidneys, hemorrhage throughout the cavities of the body, an enlarged gallbladder that has edema on the gallbladder walls, as well as like erythematous or reddened lesions and cyanosis of the extremity. All these features are not pathognomonic, meaning that they are not specific to African swine fever and they can be caused by other diseases. So it's important to have African swine fever on your differential list. However, it's usually not going to be at the top because there's going to be other aspects of the case that can either rule it out or push it down your differential list. But in the event of a producer calling you where multiple animals are affected within a fairly sudden period, and usually high fever and huddling is sort of the two that are going to be your key indications because there's not a ton of diseases that cause that at the same time. So like diarrhea will cause huddling because they'll get chilled. High fevers can be caused by influenza and PRRS, but having all that together is not always that common.
So who should veterinarians contact if they have a patient or a herd that's got clinical signs potentially of ASF, or if they suspect that this is a potential differential, I guess, given the history?
This is a tricky question for veterinarians every day because it has so many similar diseases that show similar signs or similar pathology. It's something that we struggle with because you're not going to call CFIA on every single case that you have that has erythema or high fever. But if a veterinarian does highly suspect ASF and they think it's highly likely, they're required to contact the CFIA and stay on site. It's recommended that the veterinarian consult with a colleague to determine what their differentials are and work through the diagnosis, as it can be frightening when you're encountering an unusual case and your mind jumps to ASF. I know this has happened to me before. This has happened to many of my colleagues. But as you go through the case situation and the actual facts, we often are able to rule it out completely, if not push it way down our differential list. We are now using CanSpot ASF. This is a program administered by the government. This is for active surveillance of ASF. So when submitting samples, if a practitioner does not suspect ASF but would like to rule it out or thinks the sample would be useful for establishing absence of ASF in Canada, they can work with the lab to submit samples to the CanSpot ASF program, and they'll be tested for ASF, and then the results will be reported to the government. And if it is positive, in the unlikely event that it is positive, then a normal CFIA investigation will resume. There will be a quarantine placed on the farm, and further sampling will occur.
So if we suspect a pig might have ASF, what diagnostic samples do we submit for testing, and where do we send them? Or do we just contact CFIA and let them do all the diagnostics?
So in the event, if you actually suspected ASF and you're fairly certain that this was a case of African swine fever on a farm in Canada, you would contact the CFIA immediately. So you'd contact your local branch and you'd stay on farm. That's classic procedure for any foreign animal disease. In the event you want to participate in the CanSpot ASF testing, you can participate as a result of a number of different diseases. So there's eligible clinical presentations for submitting. And so if you see septicemia caused by like erysipelas or strep suis, porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome virus can be a case that is eligible, especially when it causes cyanosis. Porcine dermatitis and nephropathy syndrome, which is a result of PCV2, can be submitted as similar vasculitis or erythematous lesions on the skin are presented as a result of PCV2, and those can be similar to what shows up in ASF. And then hemorrhagic diarrhea, which is another one. This can be caused by Salmonella, Lawsonia, or Brachyspira, as well as a couple other diseases. You can find that information on the CanSpot ASF. I believe it's a website, or at least some of the universities, like the University of Guelph has this on their website, as well as the Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network also has this information. But basically, if you see a disease that possibly makes you think of ASF, you can submit to the CanSpot ASF program. And so you're going to be collecting just your basic host of tissues. So any sort of sections of tonsil, spleen, kidney, lymph node, as well as terminal ileum. And then whole blood is something that's also collected for ASF to basically perform an ELISA, because we also want to look for antibodies depending if there's seroconversion, as that tells us when the animal was infected. And then you can, if there's any bodily fluids like fluid in the peritoneum or something, you can also submit that. And these are submitted to the approved laboratories. So the approved laboratories in Western Canada involve the Prairie Diagnostic Services in Saskatchewan, the Animal Agriculture Lab in Alberta, and I believe there is a lab in BC that is also approved. So there's one in each province, and you can submit through the CanSpot program to those. And so there's a special submission form, and you don't go through the CFIA for this. However, if this is highly suspected to be ASF and not one of those other diseases that I mentioned, then you contact the CFIA, and the CFIA comes on farm, and the CFIA will likely perform the testing in a case of a foreign animal disease.
We'll try and get a list of those labs together too to have as reference. So in the unlikely event that you suspect a backyard or a small-scale farm may actually be dealing with African swine fever, what would you tell your clients? How would you talk to them about this? And would all movement on and off the farm come to a halt at this point?
Yes. Ideally, this will never happen. However, if it does, all movement should absolutely come to a halt to avoid the spread of the virus. This virus is really hardy. It lasts really well in the environment. And so minimizing its spread in the first place will help control the disease, as well as increase the chances that traceback could be more successful. So, for example, in a porcine epidemic diarrhea outbreak, the piglets spread a lot of virus, so we try to control the movement of those piglets until we've done our environmental sampling. And this allows us to be more successful when we're trying to do a trace back. So like if we avoid moving pigs out the loading dock and we can keep them in place until that sampling is done, we could possibly increase our chances of determining if transport was the source of the virus. So similar rules apply in the case of an ASF outbreak, basically minimizing movement, stopping movement. So anything incoming and outgoing, that's going to reduce the spread, and then stopping movement on the farm. Don't move pigs from pen to pen. Don't move dead stock out. Don't bring anything into the pens that wasn't there before, unless it's absolutely necessary, like water, and it's coming from on site. Then this will help improve the epidemiological investigation, as well as avoid spread to other farms. Other things that I think people don't think about in terms of movement. So sometimes people forget about the dead stock truck pickup, which is critical to stop that from coming on or off a farm. A feed truck, any neighbors, really just anything. You basically create a big red circle around your site and nothing leaves and nothing comes on.
How can we then help our clients to minimize the risk of even any exposure to ASF infection? What can be done to prevent this virus from infecting pigs in Western Canada and in Canada as a whole?
Feeding practices are likely the highest risk event for ASF infection in Canada. We have not seen ASF in Canada, and we don't have ASF in our pigs or wild pigs, but the biggest risk of infection is through infected meat products from affected countries. So since ASF does not cause a foodborne illness, the animals that have already been slaughtered or processed at the time of an outbreak or when an outbreak is identified, those are still going to be sent into the human food chain, and it is possible that that meat could have the virus present. And this is going to depend on the country in terms of their regulations. But in the event that the outbreak was unidentified for a long period of time, any uncooked meat that includes cured, smoked, or deli meats could possibly have active virus. And preventing your pigs from consuming any food that has come into contact or may contain these meats is critical. So not feeding any bread from a ham sandwich or not feeding any kitchen scraps is number one. Preventing foreign visitors from coming on farm. So don't have people that just arrived off a plane and wore boots on a farm in another country that has an ASF outbreak is really important, as well as minimizing the number of visitors you have on farm in general. Another thing that's important, even though our wild boar are not infected with ASF, preventing wild boar and wild animals from coming on your site is also important. We don't know what other diseases wild boar have. They cause a lot of damage in the first place, but fencing and preventing wild boar from coming into contact with your pigs is also really critical.
So could you please explain how ASF might move from a backyard swine herd or a pet pig into a larger traditional swine production setting? I don't quite get how it would travel from, you know, some isolated small herd on a hobby farm into a big pig farm, a larger swine operation, and then have these severe implications of potentially shutting down the entire Canadian swine industry. Could you connect the dots for me here?
This is a really good question, and I think it's one that's been on a lot of people's minds, especially depending on what part of the industry you work within. So there has not been an actual risk analysis on this in Canada. However, this is how I understand it. Essentially, small holders, whether they are or are not, tend to be what is considered one of the highest risk categories. And the reason for this is essentially there are more chances of introductions onto those farms. There's more movement, there's fewer movements that are recorded, and the animals are sometimes on sites that do not have premise IDs. This is a critical aspect of working with small scale producers, is do not work with them or ensure that they are registered with a premise ID before either providing services or selling anything onto a farm. So this is something that our practice employs, is basically we do not sell product to anybody that does not have a premise ID. Premise IDs are critical for traceback when we do have a disease outbreak, as well as communication to those sites. So the pathway in theory would be either a foreign visitor comes onto a farm that has, maybe they brought meat with them that they purchased at the airport and they toss it over into the garbage, or they throw it out in the food waste bin, and that food waste then gets fed to the pigs on farm. It's so critical to understand not feeding food waste to pigs is absolutely important. Other thoughts about how it could possibly be introduced are possibly through the access to the outdoors. So in the event that Canada's small wild boar population was infected, then the animals that are on smallholder sites or small scale production sites, because they have access to the outside and maybe they don't have sufficient penning, the wild boar could possibly spread it into those sites. Canada does not have as large of a wild boar population as some other countries. But one of the big things that we saw in China was basically an elimination of backyard producers, people with one or two pigs, because they couldn't control the ASF spread from those pigs, from those sites to other sites. In China, they have a lot less biosecurity and there's a lot more movement within the commercial industry than we see in Canada. And the jumping from the small scale producer to the commercial industry in Canada is a dot that I think remains to be connected. But the biggest thing would likely be somebody who visits a farm and then goes to a commercial site, or some contamination. It's unlikely to be a result of pig-to-pig contact. It's going to be a person moving it. In the event that we were to have an outbreak or an infection on a small swine herd or a hobby farm, it doesn't matter that it's not on a larger swine operation that's selling meat internationally. It would shut down the Canadian swine industry, a $24 billion industry, immediately. So regardless of where we actually identify it, it's going to shut our borders to exports instantly. And it'll take us time, at least 6 months, to open our borders to the compartments. So there's some compartmentalization that's being set up that will allow some industries to export to some countries in theory. But regardless of where we find it, if we get an African swine fever positive, it will shut down the entire industry.
Are there any resources specific to ASF that veterinarians can access or that we can print out for our clients about this disease? I'm sure that, just given what you've just told me, client education is going to be a huge factor in keeping this disease out of Canada.
There are a ton of resources. So the CPC has a great host of resources, the Canadian Pork Council. They have a lot of pamphlets on not feeding scraps to pigs, as well as preventing wild boar from coming onto your farm. So like fencing and different resources for that. The Alberta government has a pest control notification contact resource. So it's 310 Farm. And you would basically call them if you see wild boar. And that's just to help us track the wild boar. The EU has some ASF programs that they will be bringing to Canada for veterinarians specifically, as well as the CVMA has two webinars on the CFIA that review the ASF situation, as well as the opportunity to participate in the CANSPOT ASF program. Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network also has a series of ASF webinars that can be accessed if you're a member of the Western Canadian Association of Swine Vets. And then in terms of other client education material, I believe that there are some coming out from the organization that this podcast is being produced by, so we can. And then on top of that, there's a lot from Alberta Pork, Manitoba Pork, and Saskatchewan Pork. Like basically posters you can put up in your farm or give to your producers or leave at your front desk for anyone coming in. And then there's going to be more biosecurity resources coming out from the Canadian Pork Council as well.
Thank you, Dr. Law, for providing us with this pretty important heads up about the risk of African swine fever. If you are a veterinarian in Western Canada and you are providing veterinary care for small-scale swine herds, please email us at WECAN to be added to the email listserv where you can discuss your clinical case questions with swine expert veterinarians. If you're looking for further information on ASF, we've also listed a number of references on our website at www.wecahn.ca for you to access and share with your clients.